Welcome to Warp Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman, Dana Smith, and Tower.
Thanks for listening.
Greetings. Welcome to Battle Lines on Warren Radio. I'm Tower, and we are glad you joined us tonight. It's Thursday, the 18th day of April, 2019. The readings in the Word this week for Passover are found in Exodus 12, 1 through 14. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 5, Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 1 through 2 and 5 through 7, and the New Testament portion is Matthew 26, 17 and 19 through 19, Mark chapter 14, 12 through 16, and Luke chapter 22, verses 7 through 13. And so Passover begins Friday, tomorrow night, on the 19th, and goes through the 26th, and unleavened bread is with starting with your Passover Eve on the 19th and through the 26th. Take time to read these biblically centered articles by the Watchman. And you can read those by going to warren-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. The Lights of Mercy in a Darkened Age. The lights of mercy are revealed through the Son of God and His redemptive power. Then through those He has redeemed, as they become the lights of hope and the message of redemption to all they come in contact with. In the last days of hedonism, evil, terrorism, and peril, the lights of mercy are to be bright, so that those who are to come will come to the Lord for redemption. Also, beholding God, greater things than these. Beholding God means there are greater things than these which have been seen, as Philip and Nathanael both encounter the true Son of God, the truth was evident. For the Messiah, Jesus Christ, it would be revealed that He would do greater things than these which had been done. You can listen to Warren Radio worldwide from your PC, Android, Apple device, and many other avenues. Check out the front page on warren-usa.com for our Spreaker embed and links to all the places to listen from, like iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Blueberry, and many others. You can listen or watch all the shows on the warren-usa.com blog, and you can also listen on Spreaker with the Spreaker app. Our Battle Lines in-depth study of the Scripture with the Watchman Dana G. Smith. For over 21 years, the Watchman has been teaching, preaching, and warning the generations. Our study tonight continues with New Heaven and New Earth, Apocalypse, John's Revelation of Jesus Christ, Part 23, on Battle Lines. New Heaven, New Earth, our Lord says, Behold, I make all things new. The old things passed away, the redemption is full circle. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, gives a fountain of water of life freely to those overcomers. These have inherited all things. We will be with our God and be His sons and daughters. And before I welcome in the Watchman, we have this.
You're listening to Warm Radio on the WIBR Warm Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warm-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
I welcome in the Watchman. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing great. It's good to be here.
Yep. Especially in this world.
Yes. Where we can come and hear truth. Real truth.
Well, the real truth is, Mueller said no collusion. And in real truth, Pelosi accused everybody, including Mueller, of being crooked. And And in real truth, I seen a thing that had a picture of the meeting about border security, and all the Democrats were missing. The Republicans were sitting there listening.
Oh, shock, shock.
I mean, you know, is it any wonder it was the Democrats and not the Republicans who really were sinners concerning slavery in the early part of America?
Yeah.
It was the Republicans who voted to free the slaves. The Democrats, of course, didn't want it.
Oh, of course not.
And, of course, the standard today in the Democrat Party, free the blacks! But yet it's the blacks who didn't do very little. I mean, they did very little to try to help the blacks. Now, Jesse Jackson and the others will get up politically and march around and postulate, while Jackson and all the others made a lot of money, including a few adulterous affairs from a number of them.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you know, when we talk about employment for blacks, Trump has done more for black employment and the black community than any other president. In addition, he's promoted top prominent blacks into top places, you know, in government to help the inner city and to help what's going
on. That's right.
Like Ben Carlson. So, you know, the next time you want to know what truth is, if Pelosi starts to speak, you might go down the road and forget to listen to her until she repents, that is. And, of course, you know, that's about all I'm going to say because, you know, I don't get into a lot of political stuff, but there is point in time when you got to just mention, let it rest, get it over with, stop it, and be done with it. But, you know, it's just like trying to tell a jackass, stop being a jackass. I mean, you know, a jackass is a jackass, you know. You know, Balaam's ass. He was an ass. And Balaam got mad at him. But come to find out, the ass that Balaam was sitting on was actually trying to get away from the angel.
And trying to save his life.
And, yeah, trying to save his life. So appearances ain't all what they seem, including in politics. And it's one thing that, you know, years ago I decided to stop doing the news, period, on our websites. Best choice I ever made. We have advocacy and gospel news. We talk about the persecuted church. Other than that, you ain't going to find a news article unless it's really, really old, because I haven't deleted all of those out yet. But, you know, you'll find mostly teaching, preaching, and the advocacy, and you'll find my personal articles that occasionally will have a few little things that's going on, but other than that, we do not cover the news. The news today is nothing but a pile of dog doo-doo, and it's just absolutely phenomenally divisive, and it's just like, who was that? Geraldo was even talking about this today, talking about how the media had gotten it wrong, and every bit of news that came out, the media constantly hammered Trump all the time. This is Geraldo Rivera, and
he ain't kind of surprising.
Yeah, well, he ain't a, you know, yes, he's at Fox News, but
he's not a fan of Trump.
He's different, you know. He's not a full dyed-in-the-wool Republican or nothing else. He has had other agendas, but in this case, he stood up, you know. And there's a lot of people that are saying, be done with it.
Yeah.
You know, because it wasn't Mueller alone. Mueller talked to Rosenstein. He also talked to all the department lawyers. A lawyer's a lawyer, you know. And nobody found anything in there. And, you know, and the thing of it is, Mueller was full of Hillary's lawyers and people on, you know, that the Democrats wanted, and none of them could find anything, and Pelosi's still screaming bloody murder.
Crazy.
Yeah. So for that, I think they need to lose badly in the election. Maybe they'll wake up.
Well, all this trouble they're causing and not doing anything for their constituents and not doing what they're elected to do up there could cause them a lot of harm in the next election.
Well, that's true, you know, and the thing of it is that, you know, there's real needs. It's just like not showing up, you know, for this border thing when they're testifying is an affront.
It is.
We've got a real problem on the border, and these people are so stupid they don't want to pay any attention to it. So this is really, you know, there's a time, you know, that maybe you want to postulate, but there's a time when you need for your country to do something. And after all, it was Pelosi just the other day who tweeted out that said, in fact, that she didn't want, you know, all of those immigrants in her city. And that was a retweet that I had seen. I didn't pay much attention except for that. Well, there was a number of them. You know, well, we don't mind them coming over the border, but we don't want them in our country.
Yeah.
In our state, yeah. You know. Well, the big problem of it is we need to solve the thing, okay? It's not, you know, the bottom line of it is America can't take everybody there is in the world. And we don't solve any problems by just letting them cross over and doing whatever they want, because they're not going to be able to make a living. And, you know, and we know for a fact that a lot of that comes across, they're, you know, people steal food, they rob, they do whatever they can in order to stay alive. But
they get desperate.
Well, there needs to be a solution. You know, we need to have a solution. You know, Mexico and the South American nations, including the U.S. and others, need to come up with a viable solution. These people need to find a good place to live, not necessarily in the United States, but somewhere where they can make a living and where they're going to be taken care of.
Maybe they need to have some policies changed in their own countries.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, my perspective is we need to solve the problem, and the problem of immigration hasn't been solved for so long, it's just not funny. And I don't know. No president has ever solved it, Republican or Democrat.
Right.
Bush, Clinton.
That's right.
Nobody has solved it. And nobody touches it or takes care of it, and that's the problem. That's the issue. That's why we have the problem today. They need to fix it. And because I don't like to see people, you know, fleeing from one place and facing death, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, want to come up here. I mean, the answer is, yeah, you can get as far away as you want, but you're still going to have to stop and make a living wherever you go.
That's right.
And people, you know, nations are not equipped to handle millions of people, especially when you have a targeted effort by liberal groups to bring them up here. And so I'm having a sun problem here.
You are?
Yeah, I need to close my curtain back here.
Here, I'll come out and get it for you.
And because the sun is shining right through here and causing a reflection. And so, unfortunately, we are a sunny day here, and I like to have the curtain open, but...
This one?
Yeah. That one there.
Yeah.
Right there. Yeah. Just pull it down a little. No. Just pull the thing down a little. I'll tell you when. Well, that's really weird.
Okay, there you go.
Well, that didn't help at all. Oh. Yeah, well. No, you can't do that either. That is weird. Something is happening here. I've got a reflection.
Is it that light up there?
Okay, that, no, that didn't help. Well, at any rate, sorry, folks. No, that's not it either. I normally can fix that, but I don't know. I've got a high-def camera that's picking up stuff, but at any rate, that's okay. Sorry, folks, for the interruption, but I want to make sure this... I've just got to make sure this thing... because, well, it wasn't that. It wasn't the sun, so... At any rate, so the politics, it's trying to live through the politics, but the big issue is dealing with the people problem. I mean, Pelosi and the Democrats can be obstinate, and, you know, the Republicans can be obstinate, but the bottom line of it is somebody needs to do something to solve a problem, and nobody has, and that's why we got the problem. Of course, another problem we have is sin problem, and they won't take care of that either because nobody will repent. Everybody thinks they're fine. Of course, this is the time that Paul said it'd be perilous times, so it's any wonder, perilous times. And if you ever read 2 Timothy 3, I think it is, about the last days, or 2 Timothy 2, it's one of them.
Yeah, it's one of them.
And, I mean, good grief. Well, you
well, we're seeing what he's described as the last, in the last days. It's astounding back then, you know, that he predicted it.
Well, Second Thessalonians 2 also tells us that they're going to fall away from the love of the truth, you know, the gospel. And, you know, that's what they're doing, you know.
Yeah.
The love of the truth. You know, and that can be irritating, you know. I mean, I don't want to live in a society where they trash Christianity. I don't want to live in a society that is divisive like a bunch of kids, high school kids, that are mad at one another. You know, and that's just the way the Democrats are acting. And, you know, I just detest that kind of stuff.
I know.
You know, so far as I'm concerned, you know, they need to do something about all of it. And, of course, then you got Bernie Sanders coming along and trying to bring socialism along with some of the others, as if that's going to help.
Oh, yeah, that's sure the answer. Surely.
You know, people today are just absolutely
full of... It's 2 Timothy 3.
Huh?
2 Timothy 3.
I was right the first time. Yeah. Well, at any rate, I don't know. All I know is, like, you know, it is in the Word. We have the Word. We stand on the Word. We walk in the Word. And literally, the Bible is the Word of God, but also Christ, when he came. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Yes,
so we
amen.
Stand in Christ
amen.
As our Savior, and we stand on the Word of God to help guide us. And the rest of society, they can do whatever they want to do. I mean, you know, they can run whatever they want to. And I'm not going to allow them to govern my life or my family's life. Now, they can make it miserable to where we have to change and do things. Yeah. But in as much as we can, we live a life and we don't let them affect how we feel, how we act, who we are, you know. And I'm not going to, and I don't tweet, hardly ever will I tweet anything out personally. I don't do that. That's just hogwash. Every once in a while I will, but not much. I have, though, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all of the writings that the Lord has given me, and all of our posts and everything, 24/7, it goes out. There's a solid stream of gospel writings and teachings and stuff like that all the time coming from Warren Radio. And it's there all the time. And if you go to our Instagram page, you go to our Tumblr page, you go to anything like that, that's what you're going to find. Because we don't live in this stupid world that people are so possessed with, and that is we live and die by all this stuff in Washington. I don't live by it. I don't die by it. I may be affected by it because of stupid rules they make and because of immorality that's going on, and the judgment of God is coming down. But even in God's judgment, he'll make a way for me and my family.
Amen, he will.
And I defy you to prove any difference, because God has always taken care of his people. And he will always judge that. He knows. Even Peter says God knows how to separate the godly from the unjust. And that's the way it is. And America is full of people that are unjust and are wicked and are liars and thieves. And they are in our nation's capital. And see, I don't even want to talk about it. Don't even want to say it. That's how bad it is up there. But at any rate, we're going to get started on this teaching. And
Okay. I'll see you on the other side.
Okay, now this is where I want to be, folks. A new heaven and a new earth. Now, I don't know where you want to be, but I do not want to be where we're at. Now, we're going to have to go through it, because through much tribulation do we enter into the kingdom of God. That's what Paul said. So, besides that, though, we do have a new heaven and a new earth. Now, we've gone through Revelation. We're in the last two chapters. And, man, I'll tell you, of all the places, you know, you need to understand is that there is a hope for us. That's where I want to be. That's where my hope is. It's not in Hollywood. My hope is not in Nancy Pelosi recognizing she is deceived. Not in any shape or form. My hope isn't even in Trump. You know, I don't trust in man. I don't trust in the arm of the flesh. I trust in the Lord. Period. That's who I look to. And every week we report on persecuted Christians, Christians that are in some horrible circumstances. And even today, I read it, there was another story coming out about the Fulani who attacked a bunch of the Christians over there in Nigeria. They were attending a funeral for us, I think it was a young boy. I can't remember what the occasion was. And they killed a bunch of them. The Fulani killed a bunch of them. And of course, they have done that before. A lot. And so, folks, God will keep a record. 2 Peter, verse 3, 10 through 13. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements also shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, thank God for that. And the reason they have to be purged by fire, and they have to be taken away because of the curse. The curse has got to be, as Isaiah 24 says, the curse has devoured the earth. Now, that is a prophecy, and you wonder what the problem today is. The curse is devouring the earth. And so this is where we're at today. The curse has devoured the earth, and it's continuing. It's not global warming. It's the curse. And, of course, if you're Ocasio Cortez, she did a thing about future when she was a future Ocasio Cortez, and she tells humorously or dramatically what the earth is like, you know. I mean, that's one way to get it across, but she's also deceived. It's not because of global warming. And you could do everything you want to change the global warming, but it is not going to stop the curse. It's not going to stop sin. It's not going to stop what is coming and what is going to happen. It will happen because it is the result of the fall. If you don't believe in the fall, I can't help it. That's your problem, not mine. But it's going to happen. You don't believe in sin, I can't help that. Sin is there. Whether you like it or don't like it, whether you like God creating everything or not, whether you like God judging everybody or not, whether you like him having a heaven, whether you like him having a Savior or not, doesn't matter. Because the final word is with God. As Scripture plainly says, those that love death hate the Lord. Yes, the Bible even covered that part. Those that love death hate God. Period. They blame him for everything. They won't repent. And they shake their fist at him and shoot off their fat mouths. And they're stubborn and prideful. And they think everything, you know, oh boy, look at me. I'm tough because I can tell God off. Well, you just wait. You're going to stand in front of him, old sinner. And we'll see how your bold face yelling and screaming is going to pay off. Even the devil is allowed to do that in the last days, the beast. And that is the whole part of what we're looking at in Revelation as well. But one day, thank God, one day, hear me shout, say amen, somebody out there in your home when you're listening to this, say amen. God is going to put an end to this. Dear God in heaven, we need an end to this. But we also need to redeem, we need to find, we need to seek out, and we need to give the message of the gospel out to those who hear it so that they can convert and come to the Lord. And Peter says rightly, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? That ought to be up in the wall in the house where all the Democrats are at, as well as the Republicans. Wouldn't hurt to have that up in the White House either. In the governor's mansion, looking forward, hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Yes, all that is going to happen. So you don't think that you should watch, you know, how you act and who you are, and, you know, there's no fear of God? Well, yeah, there should be. And if you don't fear God, maybe you need to seek Him. Maybe you need to wake up to the fact that He is God. You know, God isn't at McDonald's. He's not the chief cook and bottle washer at McDonald's. He's not there at the window trying to make sure you get your order right. And you can't get it real fast. Of course, fast food today isn't fast, and it ain't cheap either. But one thing about it, God is not cheap. He costs. We keep saying that, oh yeah, salvation is free. Salvation is not free. It never has been free. It cost the Lord His life, and He had to shed blood. And it occurred over centuries of time. It was planned in the beginning. And we are not to love our lives more than we love the Lord. And we're to give everything unto Him. There's nothing about the Lord, nothing about your salvation, nothing about taking up your cross is free. It's not easy, and it's a race, and you have to complete it. But you have overcome. And the Lord said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Even the newest Christian can resist the devil. Why? Because Christ died on that cross. Do you think He went up on that cross just so you could have a nice pretty little idol sitting in your home with a cross and an image of some guy hanging on it? The Bible tells you not to have an image of God anywhere in your home. But of course, in our new age, in our new Gentile Christianity, we don't pay attention to that. But an image is an image, and that's not God on that cross. Now, you see, if you want a cross up, that's fine. But a golden one? Well, we have all kinds of crosses. The early Christians during the persecution used a fish because the apostles were made fishers of men. Revelation 21, John sees this, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. Now the thing I find interesting in this verse, that there's no more sea. You know, I mean, and are we talking just like the Dead Sea, or are we talking about all the oceans? We're talking that there is no more open waters. A new heaven and a new earth. But there will be water, because water will come out of the throne. I mean, there will be water, but there's no more vast oceans of seas, because everything is green and beautiful and perfect. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, see, we have a couple of types here. The bride of Christ is typified in Scripture. That is, the believers who are found in Christ are typified as the bride of Christ. And the New Jerusalem that comes down, the city of God, this is the heavenly version of the city that God resides in heaven. I mean, it's a holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, where he's going to, where he has his habitation, and is prepared as a bride for her husband. And so it's coming down as a bride, as a gift, as a uniting, a joining here. So it's part of that. Now, see, Paul says about Jerusalem in Galatians 4:26, "But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. But the Jerusalem which is above is free." Now see, that is the heavenly Jerusalem. Now the Jerusalem that is in Jerusalem right now, according to Revelation, it is seen as Sodom and Egypt. That's the spiritual name for it, Sodom and Egypt. So there's been a lot of blood spilled over the centuries in Jerusalem. Many people think it's a holy city. It has a lot of religious significance for us, yes. It's where our Lord walked. It's different. There is more spiritual openings. There is a spiritual awareness of both evil and good there. And you can tune into all of it if you want to there, because it's a different place in Jerusalem. Yet, Jerusalem is the center of the world as far as prophecy is concerned. Not America, not Russia, not China, but Jerusalem. God is going to judge the nations down there. So, she is the mother of us all, even today, whether you believe it, like it, or not. That is where prophecy is going to wind up at and be fulfilled. That's where the Dark One, his whole main purpose. But see, he wants the Jerusalem on earth because he can't do anything about the Jerusalem, which is free and is God's Jerusalem in heaven, which is going to come down, the new heavens and a new earth, and the new bride, the bride adorned for her husband, is the heavenly Jerusalem coming down. The devil can't do anything about that. He tried to take over heaven, got his butt kicked out of there and condemned forever, and he's not even going to go to hell. He goes to hell now all the time, him and his minions. They transverse everywhere. But see, the bottom line with him and his minions, one day they're going to be in the lake of fire. They ain't going nowhere. One day it's going to be over. And if you don't get anything out of Revelation 21 and 22, it says you need to repent, stick with the Lord no matter what happens, and wait for the new heavens and new earth and the Lord to come. He comes first. There's a number of events before then, and then the new heavens and new earth. Hebrews 12:22, "But you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and churches of the firstborn, church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, how much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven? Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised," now that was at Sinai, "saying, Yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifying the removing of those things that are shaken, as of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain, and only those things in Christ cannot be shaken. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." Now that's one of the best written portions in the New Testament describing our experience. Because we have come to Mount Zion. Not Mount Zion in Israel, but the true Mount Zion, the heavenly, to the living God where he lives right now, to the innumerable company of angels. And then there's the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are in Christ. which are written in heaven right now as I speak. And then there's God, the judge of all, who is going to judge all men in the spirits. That is those of us who have accepted the Lord of just men made perfect. Now see, we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Now I'm speaking in a past tense. But see, we have to finish the race to be completed. Then we'll be like him, and we'll be made perfect. It'll be fulfilled totally when we get with the Lord. You haven't totally won yet. You need to stay in there with the Lord. You need to believe. You need to look to him. And don't let the things like I've talked about today with the political process or anything else on this earth sway you away from the truth of Christ. Your peace, your hope, your virtue, your righteousness, your everything rests in him. That's where you need to be. You need to be focused right here, straight ahead for the Lord. Because our heavenly Jerusalem, our Redeemer, is coming from heaven to earth. And it says that unless he comes, unless he shortens the days and comes, there will be no flesh left alive. That's how bad it's going to get. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. That's the new Jerusalem coming down. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Oh man, I love this. Did you think about that? Do you ever get upset or bothered? Do you ever get tired? Do you ever sit in your prayer closet and you're just praying and you're just tired and you just want God? You're hungering and thirsting for him. And all of a sudden, his spirit, his liquid love touches your soul. And in that second, he's saying, I love you. Because it's written that my spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. The Lord said, my sheep hear my voice. You're not alone. You never will be. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how rotten it gets, no matter how evil people are, no matter how many times you're betrayed, no matter how many years you're in prison, no matter what, what's inside of you is greater than what's on the outside. They can throw you in prison, but the real prison is when you don't have God in your heart. When you have the Lord in your heart, you're free, totally free. And it's tough. Nothing easy about it. But God can bring you through. Verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You know, there is a song by Tennessee Ernie Ford, No Tears in Heaven. And that's not necessarily true. It's a good song. I like it. No Tears in Heaven. You know, it's just like you see someone go through a harrowing experience and you want to go hug them and help them. Show them that they're loved. When God greets his children, those who have made it and completed for him, he's going to walk up and you're going to realize that he's not some distant God off playing golf, but that he loves you. And he is going to embrace you. And he's going to love you. He's going to come close. Going to wipe your tears away. He's going to tell you. He won't even have to say a word. In that second, you will know that from here on out, there'll be no sorrow, no more death, no crying, no sickness, no cancer, no murders, no hate, no more pain, because it's gone. No more curse, no more devil. That's where we're going. And can you imagine for a moment standing in front of your God and have him reach out with his hand and wipe your tear away? Wipe your tear away. I love you, he says. It's over. You're mine. Forever. I have prepared for you things that you couldn't imagine. Come in or into the joy of thy God. Now see, that's the loving aspect. That's the redemptive portion of God. And I've said many, many times, there's no reason for people to die and go to hell. All God wants you to do is repent and follow him. But as in my latest article, I point out something that I say all the time. Many won't come. The real message behind John 3:16, the love of God, the love of the Son, the redemption, and he's given it to you, yet many won't come because they love darkness more. Now see, while there's a loving, rewarding, merciful Father and Son, says this, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Revelation 12:11 applies here. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. They received the Lord. John 1. He went to his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name, which were born not of the will of flesh, but by the power of God. John 3, you must be born again of the Spirit. And there's a lot of other scriptures that points the way. So they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. They know the Lord. They walk in him. 1 John 1:1. They overcame by the word of their testimony, where the Lord said that if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father and his angels. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father and his angels. That's the second point. And the third point is, and they loved not their lives unto the death. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I'll be his God, and he shall be my son. Now in America, since I've been born, and even before, when my daddy was born again in an Amy Simple McPherson meeting, when my grandmother, my great-grandmother, which is my dad's mother, came over from Norway, she was born again. She knew the Lord. She had seen tough times. But our generation, we haven't. My dad, my grandfather, they saw the world wars. Now we've seen terrorism, we've seen a lot of bad things. But in America, we haven't lost our lives for the Lord. But around the world, Christians have literally been slaughtered for their faith. They've been humiliated, thrown in prison, raped, held as sexual slaves, and every other evil. God is going to hold an accounting. He that overcometh will inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. There is a cost to sonship. The Lord went to the cross. We have to carry the cross. The Lord went to his death in the earth so shall we go to our deaths eventually in the earth unless he comes. He was resurrected from the dead. We will be raised from the dead because we die in faith in Christ. We are his. The devil can't do one thing about it. Not one. He can kill you, but that's all. And you will stand there on that day when he's thrown into the lake of fire. You will witness the defeat, the demise, and the destruction of every evil angel, every demon in hell, and every wicked person. And anybody that personally affronted you, they will stand before God, and you will be there as a witness. There will be no secrets. There will be nothing that'll escape. Nothing. Verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The first death is when your body that you live in dies. That's the first death. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. When you put off this body, you die. The second death then becomes appropriate, because the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why you need Christ. Verse 9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I'll show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And there again, remember, in Scripture, in the New Testament, we see the bride of Christ being the church. And I'm not talking about the bricks and stones. The bride of Christ, ecclesia, are those who have been called out. The called out ones, these are the born again believers in Jesus Christ. That is the church. Now, there's a lot of man-made denominations, a lot of churches that people like to go in, and I've explained this before. And you think that that church has some kind of magical power or the power of God. I got news for you. When Israel sinned, and they had a temple, they had prophets, they had priests. God destroyed everything. Your building, the reason you think it has power, it don't have power. The people in it. Where two or more are gathered in my name, there will I be in the midst. That's church. You happen to be in a building, and you gather together with a full heart in God and Christ, and you gather together in his name, he manifests himself in your presence. That's the reason you have church. Nothing wrong with some of these organized denominations, but we put too much power, too much sway, there's too much politics in this man-made convention of denominations. The fire of God is going to burn away everything that man made, including your denominations. I guarantee you that. Because there will be no flesh, nothing created by man, that will be honored. Only those in Christ and those things of God. So now the Lamb's wife, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And having the glory of God, and her like was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. It's really interesting. When we talk about gold, they talk about it being clear as glass. This is clear as crystal. And the only explanation for any of this is that we do not have perfection on the earth. Absolute. We can get 99.9, never 100%. But when you get in heaven, everything is perfect. And that also will have to do with the bodies you'll be given. Your body will not even be like what you have now. It will be a perfect body. And if we take some clues from the Lord, we know that it will be magnificent. I've talked about that before, but let's move on. And had a great and high, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates. And at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east 3 gates, the north 3 gates, the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. Now it's the eastern gate, which, I forgot which Muslim warlord, Mahdi came through when he was defeating all the Gentile forces and actually sealed up the eastern gate. Because it's in the east, the way the sun rises is where the Lord is going to be coming. And even in a lot of the religion, a lot of the things, you look to the east. The Muslims look to the east. But at any rate, here we have 3 gates on each side. But on the eastern gate is where the King of Kings is supposed to go through. But see, in the New Jerusalem, see, this has 12 angels at the gates. That is so nothing unclean can pass through. And it has the 12 tribes of Israel, showing you the foundation from the Old Testament God was doing through Israel. And also, within Abraham, all the tribes of the earth would be blessed, and that was passed through to Ephraim, who was the youngest. Manasseh was the oldest of Joseph's kids, and he should have had the blessing, but instead it went to Ephraim, and Ephraim is the one that had the blessing of the nations on him. So when we talk about being of Ephraim, that refers to the Gentile line coming through, actually, Ephraim. And when we also talk about that, it was through Joseph, who was a rightful heir. But in Joseph, he actually married outside of his own and married an Egyptian woman who was the daughter of a priest of Egypt, high mucky muck priest. So, and I've told you before, she would have come to the Lord, no doubt, because she would have seen what happened with Joseph, and she would have wanted to know the truth. There's no doubt in my mind that she had come to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So we see the Gentiles officially coming in through that line, and it goes in is funneled out through Ephraim. And of course there's more prophecies on all this. So at any rate, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So you have the main part of this particular city and the walls. You had all these gates, and you had the 12 angels and the names of the tribes of the children of Israel. Now that's the city of Israel. But in order to complete this, there needed to be the foundation. And the foundation was that the law had to be fulfilled here in order to redeem man in its fullness. Because even out of the Old Testament, the redemption had to come because of through the Lamb. And so the 12 apostles of the Lamb spread the last day's message of the second covenant, which didn't do away with the first necessarily. It fulfilled it. And so we have the 12 apostles, we have the 12 angels, and that's the completion of the city, the complete package. This is why when you look at your scripture and you have the Tanakh or the Old Testament, you have the Brit Kadosh, which is the New Testament, it's the whole that represents the truth here. And when you have New Testament churches that only teach out of the New Testament, then they're doing themselves a disservice. When you have churches and pastors that won't discuss the law and won't talk about it, that's where they find themselves in trouble. because had the Gentile churches been more careful to understand more of the law, and they didn't want the law, and it wouldn't have been to be saved, but it would have been to understand things, to understand the clean from the unclean. Now, the apostles, they didn't, when they preached straight out of the of what we would call the Old Testament. The Lord did too. Everything came
Google
out of that.
Calendar says,
guess what?
Remnant Bat aligns at Thursday, April 18th.
Sorry about that, folks. That's what happens when I have a small space and I have all my computers on top of me. But that's our choice. We've been doing this for years. So, at any rate, let's get back to this. So, at any rate, and he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall 144 cubits, and according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was of pure gold, like unto clear glass. And there you go again, pure. See, everything is pure here. And the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth a sardonyx, the sixth a sardis, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, and the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, and every several gate was one of one pearl, and the city of the street was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. See, do you notice everything's transparent? But see, what this will give you, you know, I ask you this question. What sign did God give Noah as a sign he wouldn't flood the earth again like he did before? A rainbow. He gave a rainbow because that best represents what the city of God really looks like. When you have all these foundations of these pure stones, it's going to come out like a rainbow, like you've never seen. And it'll have all these colors of pure stones that are absolutely 100% pure, 100% clear, but different colors. Beautiful. The likes of this would be something that you've never seen and cannot describe, nor can any picture fully in our human minds grasp. But this will be one of the most beautiful cities, one of the most unbelievably pure cities that you've ever will behold in your life. You will never, ever see anything like this, ever. And even if you had an artist's conception, that could never reach the depth of the purity of which we speak. Because in this earth, we can't do anything 100% pure. Nothing's pure. There's sin here. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did light, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So they didn't have any need of the sun, didn't have need of the moon, you didn't have need of cold, you didn't have need of hot. Cold, hot, all of that is gone. We're talking about perfection here, absolute perfection. And the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb, because of the glory thereof, will shine out. Now, the biggest thing we used to think about many years ago was, is the city of Jerusalem big enough for all the redeemed to live in? Now, that's a fair question, but it's also a silly question. Now, see, when we were in Bible school discussing it, it didn't seem silly. And when we were in the churches and we talked about it, it didn't seem silly. But the fact of the matter is, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. New heavens, new earth. And there will be lots of places for you to live. And you're not going to have cars, you're not going to have pollution, you're not going to have nothing. You'll be able to get from one place to the other simply by thinking about it. You will be able to have the whole earth. For the meek shall inherit the earth. one long, long, huge, beautiful place where people live. It's perfect. And it's in the presence of God, where you can talk to your God, you can know your God, he can talk to you no matter where you're at. Now, does this mean you could be on the moon? Well, you know, that's an interesting thing, and these are things that I do think about from time to time. I do have that capacity to get into. And I see a new heavens, totally new, unlike absolutely everything of which you've ever seen before. Nothing like that at all. In fact, there will be other places to live, other things that you'll be able to, and it won't be like up or down. It'll be just, everything will be that way. There won't be the sun and the moon as you know about it. There will be heavens. There will be everything else. Everything will be put together. There will be animals on the earth. I believe it'll be a step up from the Garden of Eden that Adam and Eve knew. They will have the foods there. Will be foods for healing. They will, you will be able to eat there. But see, your body won't be anything like what you think. Now, you're not just going to be a spirit sitting on a cloud. You will have a body. And that body will be glorified. And you will be the sons of God. Will there be women there? Well, you know, this is a tricky thing. Will there be sexes at all? Or will there be a glorified being like unto God that is glorified and looks like him? I believe there will be all kinds of people there, and I believe you will be able to know them. But this is just pure speculation. We don't really know, but it's fun to think about. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory of the honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now see, during the millennium, this is a whole different story. You will still have the standard earth that'll be remade when the Son of God comes to make up for everything that's happened, but there will be a new heavens and earth. And so that's really the part after the 1,000-year. And in verse 22, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding and out of the throne of God and the Lamb. And in the midst of it, and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healings of the nations. So this tells me the nations of them that are saved will be in there, every one, their nation. This fruit here is for the healing of the nations. So this, there will be nations. There wouldn't be any need for the healing of the nations if there wasn't a nation. But it'll all be found in God, but these are the nations. These are the saved of all the nations on earth. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And so, now this is just like amazing. I mean, is he going to need everybody that's saved serve him? Well, they will serve him. They won't necessarily have to be in the New Jerusalem, but everybody that is redeemed will serve the Lord God in one capacity or another. Whenever we get a picture of heaven, they're all gathered together. So it's not like, you know, you're on the other side of the earth, this new earth that God has created, and he says, well, we're going to have a meeting up here. You need to be here. You will know instantly. You'll be there instantly. You will know exactly what goes on. You'll be there. You'll be in the know. You'll know what's happening. You'll be there. And when there's something there and you're all praising God for eternity, I mean, what do you care? You're going to be in the presence, and the presence of God is joy everlasting, joy forevermore. I mean, what could be better than that? And they that see his face and his name shall be in their foreheads. They shall see his face and his name shall be in his forehead, the Lord God. Now, the biggest thing we wonder is that the Hebrew letters that spell out the four letters of Yahweh, whether that'll be. But it could be very well a name that God hasn't given us yet that is in that. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Now that tells you, this is where it's at. You're on a new heavens and a new earth that's totally remade in unlike anything you've ever seen. The eternal city, the new Jerusalem, will have no need of light for the glory of God, and the Lamb will lighten it. It'll shine as a rainbow, but there will also be light all over. Because they are life-giving, every plant, everything that's there will be self-sustained. It'll grow. There will be no more weeds. There will be no more bugs. Nothing like anything you've ever seen. And there shall be, in verse 6, and he said unto me, these things are faithful and true. The Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Now see, this is a warning at the end of the book. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Now see, that's important. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. Now see, this is important. This is the only place that I know of where you find the messenger of God as a fellow servant. This is proof that you're not going to be sitting on a cloud playing a harp for all eternity. You're not going to just be there in the choir singing forever. That God has jobs to do, and in this thing, he says, I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets. So this, he came, he was one of the prophets, and you probably never knew who he was. He probably never wrote anything, but he was of them. And he was given the job to come to John and give him the message and to work in this revelatory manner. Now see, that's an important job, because this affects the whole end time church. So he's thy fellow servant. So this tells us that this guy was just like you and me. He got redeemed, became a prophet, and God appointed him to do this. So this is very, very important here. This is the only place that I know of where we have this. And this tells me that God uses his people. He sends them out because they're faithful, and he sends them. And I can tell you that there are angels surrounding you, and there are people doing things, and they're just not, a regular angel, but they are someone who is a fellow servant. This is what this thing says. Now, in what capacity and how this thing works, we don't know, but we do know that there's one person here who was just like us, unredeemed. He was of the prophets of old. He was a fellow servant, serving God. And now he is on a mission. He's talking to John. I mean, it's amazing here what you can find out. And he said unto them, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Now see, that was back in John's. Don't seal it, the time's at hand. That was in John's day. And this also tells me that many of the prophecies in Revelation, there's always been a big debate on how to interpret it, historical, future, or current, Revelation has multiple fulfilling prophecies. And they can be fulfilled historically, but also fulfilled dramatically, prophetically in the future. We know God does that. And so within this, a lot of the stuff that John, like he was writing the churches, were actual churches that really needed the message. There were things that were going on that did apply at that time. But they also apply today. And it says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. Now see, let me get this straight to you so you understand. We are not here to convert every sinner. We're here to give the word of our testimony and give the gospel and tell them what God has done for them, and they have a choice to make. If they choose not, that is their choice. God has given them that according to the law and according to the redemptive process. Now, what this says is this, that the time was at hand for all these prophecies to begin in John's day, which they did. But he says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. Just to make it black and white for you. That's what it says in verse 11. Revelation 22:11. That's very important to you. Because you have people today that are sinners. I mean, there's a whole pile of them. I mean, really blatant sinners. People that do things that the Bible says are absolutely wrong, and they do it anyway. There's people that will not come to the Lord. Now see, here it says, if you're unjust, go ahead and be unjust still. If you're filthy, go ahead and be filthy still. If you're righteous, go ahead and be righteous still. If you want to be holy, you know, if you're holy, go ahead and continue to be holy. Because I'm coming quickly, he says, and I'm going to give a reward to everybody according to their works. In other words, the Lord has died on the cross. He's given you the choice. The gospel's going out. The witness, by the time, see, this is at the end of the book. See, he's saying, I have given you the message already. I died for your sin. It's your choice. And in the end days, Paul talks to us, tells us perilous times. The love of many, you know, are going to wax cold because society is so wicked. You're not going to convert like someone that may not be living a lifestyle that you think by shouting epithets at them. The only way they're going to be saved is through prayer and fasting and casting the demon, the unclean demon, out of many of them. But there are people that are stubborn that won't repent. They love darkness. The Lord said that, John 3:16, in that context going down. They are not going to repent. Why? Because once they repent, in order to repent, they have to admit that the deeds they're doing are evil. But when you repent and you come to God and you say, okay, forgive me of my sins, I'm a sinner, then, because you came to the light, you prove that your deeds are wrought in God through Christ, because you've repented. That's what Christians are supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be righteous and holy, walking in a manner that's opposite of the world. We are not like the world. We are separated. And see, this verse, it tells you the end of days. This is one of the big marching order of scriptures that I have out of the book of Revelation. Revelation 22:11. When you have people that are like that, that you know, you love them, you pray for them, you fast for them, you know, calling them names, you know, and threatening them all the time. Now, there's some of them, even Jude talks about this, you know, you save them so as yet by fire. You give them the word of God, you tell them that, and something will jolt them right now, and they'll come out of it. But remember, we are in the last days, and it's coming to an end. The wicked are not always going to be wicked. And I can tell you, some of these up in Capitol Hill that are acting the way they are, you know, they're going to stand before God too. Every individual, every human is going to stand before God, and he is the judge, and that's what Revelation is about. His kingdom is coming in. You need to take care of you. You need to take care of your family. You need to fast and pray for them. But you also, when you come in contact with people, you overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony. What has God done for you? That is your word. You confess him before men, and that's all you can do. The redemptive part is up to the Lord. And behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Now, he's saying that to let you know who's the ones doing the saying here. He that is holy, be holy still. He that is wicked, let him be wicked still. For I come quickly, and I'll give to every man according as his work shall be, because I am the beginning and the end of everything. You're not going to get by me. I am the first, I am the last, and I will put down all evil. I will judge every human being according to their works. That's what this is saying. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Okay, now what does he say in John 15? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. All this stuff in the church that tells you you don't need to keep commandments, that's a lie out of the pit of hell. That's this modern horror church that we live in. See, the church was called out, and that is us Christians, believers. We were called out of the world. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. The church is in the world, and the world is in the church. Now, you got to get out of the world and get into the presence of God. Then you'll be the true church. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers, murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And when I see that, I remember the angel up above. He says, I am of thy brethren, the prophets. I'm your fellow servant. It just amazes me. And the spirit and the bride say, come. Now see, this is important. God warned you. The Lord is warning you. He's telling you what you need to do. But yet, this is the invitation. It ends on mercy. And the spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that hears say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. This is the invitation. This is the invitation for you to come to him. For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away the words of the book of the prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifies these things, surely I come quickly, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, amen. And with that, we are finished with Revelation. It is a dynamic book, and it is absolutely an amazing book, and it's not about all the judgments. That's going to happen anyway. It's about the kingdom of the Lord that's coming, and that you're going to be part of it. Father, we thank you for your word today, Lord, and I ask, Lord, everybody that hears this, and including myself and Tower, forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, move in our hearts, and guide us according to your word. Let this word go down into their hearts and draw them, Father, where you want them. Move in their hearts, and let the invitation to come fill their hearts, O Lord. For those who are hurting and downtrodden, lift them up, Lord, through your Spirit. Those who are in prison, all those who need help, Father, move upon them now in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word in Jesus' name. Okay, Tower.
Okay, amen. I just love this. We have so much to look forward to. I can hardly wait because I hate the sin and what's going on in the world.
Yep.
But God, in his mercy and in his judgment, is waiting for that last one to come in.
He is. And God is merciful. And, you know, we are headed into a time that Paul talks about them rejecting the love of the truth, which is the gospel. But even today, the word has been come across out of Syria and Iraq. Now that ISIS has been defeated, you know, the ministries that are on the ground, the churches that are on the ground there, are saying lots of Muslims are coming to the Lord now.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank God.
Yeah, a lot of them. And that was, you know, and we see the same thing around the world. In a lot of places, we see people come to the Lord. So while you have a society that rejects the gospel, you have a whole bunch of them that receives it. So understand, you may look around and see sin everywhere, but God is moving in the hearts of people.
Amen.
And that's important.
He is still redeeming people, even in these last days. He'll never quit.
Nope, he never will.
And his restoration will never stop.
Nope. With that, we got to get out of here.
Okay, good night, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Join us tomorrow night for Sound the Shofar. May God richly bless you. And we pray for you and we love you. God bless you.
Shalom, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.